So Kevin takes the day off. He's got the day off, and he doesn't tell Matt where the button is to play the traditional show open. What's wrong with Kevin?
Yeah, he changed the button on me and never told me.
What's wrong with Kevin?
So at the very beginning there, we got
let's
a
call
bit
him
of
up. Let's,
clash
we need to call him up. I don't know what the deal is here, but we got to call him up and do something about it.
So sorry to you, John.
Wow, the ultimate
got changed around and nobody told me.
The ultimate slap in the face, I guess. Right. Well, welcome inside the playbook, everybody, for a Thursday. Right now, I'm John Rook, and I'm John Rook all the time. But right now, I would tell you that Eric has gone outside the room momentarily. He is supposed to be back, but it's almost like the fire department came in here just a couple of moments ago, because yesterday we talked about, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday we talked about Steve from Killeen, who sent the bottle of Insanity, Dave's Insanity, the hot sauce. And so I opened it up. I brought in the bag of chips, as I promised. Steve, if you're listening.
You are crazy.
And poured it into the, you know, into a plate here. And obviously the pepper oil rises to the top of this thing. So the dark stuff that's on the top of this thing is probably one of the hottest known substances to man. That's actually edible.
I don't know if it's edible.
Well, obviously it's not, because Fred just flew out of here.
And Fred likes a lot of hot stuff.
Fred likes hot stuff, and I know he does.
And Paul does, too.
Paul tried it, too, and both of those guys literally took tears to their eyes and jetted right out the door, like the fire truck just got here.
Yeah. I thought Fred was going to throw up when he first took a bite there. I thought he was about to throw up all over your shoes, John.
Well, here it is, Eric.
Do you dive in, my friend?
It's hot.
Whenever I get hot sauce at places, I ask for the most mild.
Well, this is. I mean, I'm surprised that it hasn't eaten through the plate yet.
I know. Honestly. It does look kind of radioactive.
It does look radioactive. Anyway, Steve, good job out of you, brother. What about, hey,
Now, where are the corny dogs?
Huh?
Where are the corny
dogs?
We
don't know where the corny dogs are yet, though, right?
I know. We should get Pac-Man to come in and try some of these. Yeah.
Adam, you want to
come
try this?
Dave's
Adam Jones. Come on, Adam. Come on in here.
Yeah.
Come on in here. He does the, obviously, everybody knows he does the post-game show online. Come on, Adam, you gotta try this.
I can't do hot stuff. I'll be going directly to the bathroom.
Yeah, but you haven't, just come and dip your little finger in.
I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure it's wonderful. I can't handle it.
This stuff is like enriched uranium. You only need like a little dab on your finger for it to be
fatal. I will miss the show tomorrow. I won't be able to stay in the studio.
This is a good way to prove your manhood.
I lose then. I don't pass that test.
I'm already secure in mine. I don't need to dive into that stuff.
All right. So there you go.
Yes.
Steve, you did a good job. You did a great job. Although I don't know how the hell we'll ever get through a gallon of this stuff.
I was going to say, what's the shelf life? Is there an expiration date?
Are you kidding me?
Or is this stuff?
No, this is like a stinking.
What's the half life?
I was about to say. This thing doesn't have a shelf life. It has a half life.
10,000 years?
10,000 easily. Wow. Anyway, Steve.
Did you dive in yet?
I have.
Since we've been on the air?
Yes.
Really?
Well, actually, right before we went on the air, because I hate it when people chew and try to talk at the same time.
No, don't do that. Turn your mic off and try it. And then once you're done chewing. All right, so John's diving into the Tostitos bag right now.
You're going to do the play-by-play.
I'll do the play-by-play here. John's diving into the bag. He's got, he's just dipped the very tip of a very large chip. And he's got, I would say, well, now he's going to the side. So now you've got the side and the tip, which is way more than a drop. The recommendation on the bottle is one drop, and that's way more than a drop. That's probably about half a dozen drops. He's chewing it, swallowing down the chip. It's mostly chip, but oh, now he's shaking his head. I think it's starting to have its effect. Now he's going for the cup. He's sipping, washing it down. That's really not a sound effect. That's actually the fire department coming, Foxborough Fire.
I want you to look for the beads of sweat that they start coming on my forehead.
I think your eyes are going first.
Wow, that is.
I can see it from the other side of the glass. I can see
that's
the sweat starting to come.
Pure insanity. That's what that is. That's
how much worse is that than what I gave you from Anchor Bar?
Anchor Bar is like, that's drinking water. The Anchor Bar is drinking water.
Oh, really? So that's tame compared to this?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, Anchor Bar is hot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what I do with the Anchor Bar is I put just like one or two drops on a chicken wing and then baste it over the chicken wing and then grill the chicken wing. And it turns out delicious because it loses a lot of the
You dilute
the
it
heat.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But one or two drops of that,
You had about six drops, I'd say.
If you're not careful. And I like hot stuff like Fred does, all right? I'm, you know, that's,
you're Texan.
I grew up with this.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, we would do hot sauce in instead of salt and pepper.
Man.
And so I put hot sauce on everything. You know, there's a great commercial out on, have you heard the commercial where Frank's Red Hot, the hot sauce, where this old lady says, oh yeah, Frank's, I put that beep on everything.
I saw that the other day.
That's the first time I haven't laughed out loud at a commercial probably since Where's the Beef? But honestly, I heard it. It was an older lady, must be in her 70s or 80s. And she goes,
Frank's
Red Hot.
Yeah.
I put that beep on everything. And I'm like, oh my God, did she just say that?
I think I've heard that too.
What an unbelievably compelling marketing campaign. I put that beep on everything. And this is something, though, you can't put this on anything.
You can put it on something and you won't even have to cook it because that will just cook the food for you.
I got to tell you. All right. You just saw me.
The color of this thing is, it's a deep, dark rust, red.
Rustic red.
Rust color with blood red,
oil that is risen
oil
to the top.
Vinegar or whatever that's on the, the outer edge of the plate.
Honestly, yesterday, when we got the bottle from Steve, we opened up the package.
Yeah.
And we saw the oil that had risen to the top. And we thought, oh, my God, the seal's been broken.
Yeah.
It's been spoiled. That's mold.
Mm.
No.
That's just the vinegar.
That's the pepper oil that rises to the top and separates. And that black stuff, which you see rimmed on this plate right here, that's the hottest stuff probably known to man.
I think John's still drooling.
Yeah, well, he's constantly going back to his
I'm still drooling because my taste buds have been not just livened up, they've been shocked into oblivion right now. So I've got the saliva thing going because I can't dry my mouth out.
Mm. You need some bread.
That's why they tell you to rather than drink soda or anything cold, they tell you to eat bread because
it absorbs
the liquid. Because
once
you
have another chip, then that'll try to
well, the cookie. The more your mouth salivates, the worse the pain becomes. Did you know
so this
that?
Is a, no, so this is a prolonged torture that you go through when you have this stuff.
That's why they tell you no water.
That's why they
say 100
stay away from ice.
Right.
Ice doesn't cool it down.
No.
Soda and stuff like that makes
it
bad, too.
Right. That's plenty. That's plenty. I think one big chip like that is just plenty.
As he says, going for his cup for the 10th time.
Oh, my God. Wow. Now, I know Dave's insanity. I know it. If you want to look for it, you can Google it. You can find it. I've had it before. I told you the story yesterday where my ex-mother-in-law had used to send me this, you know, sampling every year.
Yeah, a sampler, like a Whitman's
Dave,
a hot sauce.
Right. And Dave's was in it every year. It was a small jar of Dave's, but it would always be the last jar of the sampler that I would open. Why? Because you physically can't handle it. I would open it up. I would dip a chip in it, you know, maybe a couple of tips like that. I'd throw it in my fridge. And I would forget about it until the mold actually got in it. But that's, you never could enjoy it because it's just, the heat is just so incredibly intense. I need to put on a short sleeve shirt. Damn.
Is that the most you've ever put on a chip or anything?
No.
That was quite a bit.
I covered the whole side of the chip on that one. So that was, you know, about like what Fred did. And Fred had just, it sent him running out of here.
Now, you mixed this with a chip.
Yes.
When you poured it into the plate, you mixed it with a chip, and
right.
then you had to get rid of the chip.
It's because there was a lot of oil at the top of the bottle.
No, but I'm saying the chip was half covered in this stuff, and you said, I have to throw away the chip because
that
would actually kill you.
I don't know. It wouldn't kill you, but it would.
You'd have to go to the hospital.
You might. You probably couldn't breathe. It'd probably close your throat up.
Oh, my God. That's
sounds
dangerous.
Like something I want to eat every day.
So, Matt, are you going to try this?
Yeah, Matt.
I'll give it a shot.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Brave man.
Come on.
He's coming in.
Come on. We'll get this done and out of the way. And then actually, I promise you, we're going to talk football today. Yesterday, it's game shows. Today, it's food shows.
Yeah, it's the last show before the bye week.
I know. Game show Wednesday, food show Thursday.
What are you doing?
Oh, see, now he's going for the Diet Dr. Pepper. Diet Coke.
Yeah.
It looked like Diet
Even
Dr.
though we're a Pepsi.
I know.
Station.
I know. We shouldn't say anything. Got to be
Pepsi
Coke.
Team.
I know.
All right,
here we
a couple
go.
Of those chips in here. He's diving in now.
You did such a good job of play-by-play. Do it again.
Right. Okay. Now, he's got a smaller chip than John, a much smaller chip than John had.
I think you need to get a bigger chip.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a little bit better.
In fact, you might want to double it.
There's actually a bigger chip in here, I think. Here, let's get you one like there. There you go.
Oh, see, now that's better.
Yeah, now you can actually use the
I don't think you want to dip a whole lot.
No, not a whole lot.
No, I think you want to put the tip
He's putting the tip in there.
Okay.
All right. That's about, a drop.
That's a drop.
A drop or two, maybe.
Yeah.
This looks terrible.
At the very corner. That's a large chip he's going into. Now, it's mostly chip that he's consuming right now.
Now, he's immediately feeling the pain.
But he's shaking his head already.
He's immediately feeling the pain.
Up to his
mouth.
And
now he's scarfing the other chips.
Yeah, you want the rest of the bag?
You want the bag?
You can have a little bit more if you need it, but.
Look at it.
I think his face is turning red already. Now he's diving into the cookie box.
Poor Matt.
yeah, it's getting
you're
to
try to dumb the pain, it's the pain down with the cookie.
Yeah. I give you credit, though, because I'm not going anywhere near that stuff.
Mm.
I can't handle that.
Wow.
I'm pushing it back towards you, John.
I don't think Steve and Colleen likes us. I'm beginning to come to the conclusion that he did this because he really wants to see the goobers do this.
Do you put this on?
That is so terrible. It's getting worse as I go on.
Yeah.
Well, now, terrible is a relative term. Let me correct that, because there's a lot of hot sauces that are really good. This one, I'm not sure why they would make it. Honestly.
You can't even taste it.
No.
It's dangerous.
I'm not sure why you would make this. I'm not sure why the company that manufactures Dave's Insanity makes it, because I don't know too many humans that can actually really enjoy this. Unless you're just a complete and utter masochist.
And you guys really, we weren't exaggerating there. You were using really the tiniest drop possible.
He had
the very
drop.
Edge of the chip.
Matt had a drop.
Right.
It's on
I
the
probably
back of my tongue. That's the worst part. Like,
right.
You can't get it off.
Can't get it off the back of your tongue.
When I put the chip in my mouth, it hit like the back of my tongue before I bit into the
yeah.
chip.
So that
nothing I do
so it's basically it's searing a hole in the
chips.
Back of your tongue.
You need some more of this.
I got the cookie. I got chips.
Okay.
Got soda, which I of course I just
no. The soda's
no.
Only
don't
make
do
it
that.
Worse.
Don't do that yet. Wait a little while before you do that.
So can you imagine a whole chicken wing in that?
Oh, God, no.
It would burn a hole in the lining of your stomach.
No, it's dangerous. That there should be. There really should be a skull and crossbones on this.
The pepper extract, the dark liquid that is
no
risen
thanks.
To the top.
No,
I think
thanks.
That's what I got. That's why it's so bad right now.
Wow.
I got more black than I did red.
That's just amazing that it separates itself like that.
That could take the rust off of, like, a car.
Oh, yeah.
Take the rust right off your bumper.
Yeah, I believe so. Now, a couple of comments already on this. TG and NJ, why don't you feed that hot sauce to Andy? You'd probably kill him. And then
it would go right through him.
Joshua says, you guys eating Dave's Insanity? Oh, my God, that stuff is awful. I made the mistake of splashing that on a pizza back in 2003.
Oh.
I seriously contemplating trying to vomit it up after a few bites because it was so painful.
Oh.
Not even kidding. That only would have made it worse. Never messed with it again. Oh, you're not kidding.
Oh, because then
can
it
you
went
imagine
down
trying
and then
to
having it come back
come
up.
Come back up?
Oh.
That'd take your esophagus out.
Oh, imagine what it must do to you when it goes the other way, though.
It's not fun, brother.
Oh. Not excited for later. Not excited for later.
So I was going to say, if you actually, by some chance, if you actually enjoy this, thank you very much
wow.
for that. But if you actually enjoy this, and I would love to talk to somebody today that likes really hot stuff like this. Send me an email, webradio@patriots.com. You can call the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. This is not the topic of conversation today, but really, and I'll have my Facebook page open momentarily, but if you enjoy really hot stuff, if you've tried Dave's Insanity and you enjoy it, I'd really like to hear from you why. What is the attraction? Because I like hot stuff as well as anybody that I know.
Same being, here.
Okay.
I
mean,
food.
Mexican food, Chinese.
No,
I love. I'm
no
a big
thanks.
Fan of wasabi. I love everything with spice.
I like the burn of spice, but this is like
you like the controlled burn.
Yeah, not the burn that like I feel like I could pull my tongue off right now.
And it wouldn't hurt.
No, it wouldn't feel.
It would hurt less.
It would hurt less.
It would hurt less to pull your tongue out.
Right, which is why I would like to talk to somebody today who enjoys hot stuff like I do, like Matt does, like even like Fred does.
We need somebody from Dave's to call and explain whether or not anybody from there eats this stuff.
See if that label has a number on it. Go see if the label on the bottle has a number on it. Matt, you can call them. See if they'll go on with us. Does that have a number on it? Does that have an 800 number on it? Yeah, don't kill yourself.
I just burped and it makes
see.
It so bad.
Dave's Gourmet Inc. is in San Francisco, California. They have an 800 number, Matt.
Okay.
All right.
You want to write
I'll
this
come
down?
In and grab that. And
all right.
I'm
gonna
come
yeah.
call it up.
And they have a website too.
It's Dave's Gourmet Ultimate Insanity. What's
yeah.
the website address?
It is Dave's Gourmet all one word .com.
Okay. So Dave's Gourmet, GOURMET .com. There you go. So now I know. You know you. Listen, we've hammered them and we've thanked them And so now you got to try for yourself. If you really hate somebody, this might be the thing to get them.
Oh.
Thanks, Steve!
Man, seriously, if you put this, like, if you pretended this was, like, spaghetti sauce. Even if you just put like a tiny spoonful.
You kill somebody.
And mix it in with the rest of the.
Can you imagine them taking a big bite of spaghetti with this in there?
They would die, I think. If they
choke.
At the very
least, they would throw up.
They'd choke. No, they'd choke. They'd probably choke to death.
Now, do I call the 800 number or the other number they have on here?
What other number they have on here? I only see the 800
number. They have two
numbers
on the website. I just went onto the website.
Sure, I would try the non-800 number because 800 is probably more consumer line. If you try the a non one, it's probably the headquarters.
Find out if they have a marketing or a sales rep or someone like that we could talk to.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds good.
Honestly, okay, that's the hottest thing in the world I think I've ever had. Especially with that stuff rising to the top of the bottle like it did. That's truly.
There's some Gatorade in there.
This is something that what's the guy on Man V Food,
yes.
Adam Richman.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something that I think would even floor him, and he does eat a lot of hot stuff. By the way, I love that show. Adam, you know, he's funny as hell, but I don't think he can handle this.
You keep pushing this towards me too. I'm not going to try it.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to do it.
That's fine. Okay. Should we talk about football now?
If you want.
Well, we could talk about Muammar Gaddafi being killed.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Apparently they shot him in the legs and then the head.
How about that?
So in 1 year, we get Bin Laden.
Yeah,
Gaddafi.
Tiff in Wisconsin just sent the email. What do you think of Muammar being killed? He's been a boogeyman since I was a little girl.
Yep.
Wow.
Richly deserved and long overdue.
Well, he truly, I think, is one of those people like Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
One of the just these.
We're better off without him.
One of the evil men on the face of the earth that we're better off as a species without people like that.
Because at this point, we have a saying in Italian that it kind of rhymes when you say it, but you can't straighten a tree once it's grown.
Right.
You have to, you know, that's why when you plant a tree, you always have, you know, if it's falling over, you have the little, the sticks that you use to brace it on each side so that mm-hmm. it makes sure it grows up straight.
Right.
When you can't turn somebody like that, especially after 40 years in power.
No, you can't. Change things. Changes
no.
everything.
You have to start when they're kids.
I know.
Got an update for you.
All
okay,
right.
Shoot.
Okay, so. Dave, the head of Dave's Gourmet,
really
not in the office today,
okay. Uh-huh.
But they're going to email him with our phone number and have him call in.
Awesome.
Hopefully in the next hour and a half, or next week, hopefully in the next half hour, because I got to go back upstairs and write today.
Yeah, I don't know that
can't
Russell.
Play game show.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that Russell would be. You know, or you know, if it's after 3:30 Eastern, after Russell goes, then we could try to get him on, and we could end up
right.
that way.
Hopefully, okay. He calls back soon.
Yeah,
isn't this good radio business right here that we're conducting live on the air?
It sure is.
Good radio stuff.
Be good for their business. That's why they should call right away.
It's starting to go away with me, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I can finally feel my tongue again.
You don't.
It's gone away enough, though. Has it gone away enough in the last 5 minutes since you did this to make you want to do it again?
No. Not unless you
want to try it again?
I want to go again.
Oh.
But that's because I have a love for hot stuff.
See, I don't know. It's like I want to go again, but I know that I would go overboard if I went a second time, and then I'd really hate myself.
Would you put more on the next time?
Would you?
Would you put more on the chip the next time?
Not
me. I don't know.
I know what my limit is, Matt. So a drop is fine. It's a good limit.
John had about six times as much as you had on yours.
Oh, hold on a sec.
Oh, phone's ringing. Maybe that's Dave. Hopefully that's Dave.
Oh, somebody wants to buy my hot sauce. All right. Well, why don't we kind of start with the football conversation here, at least for the moment. I have, you know, some thoughts in here that I wanted to get to this week, simply because we are at the bye week. We're physically at the halfway point in the of the season. We're
almost.
We're 10 games if you count the preseason plus 6 regular season. So 10 games down, 10 games to go.
Yeah.
We're not at the halfway point of the regular season.
Right.
But we
right.
are at the halfway point of the year for the football player. So really, the bye week comes at a perfect time. You've played 10, you've got 10 to go, even though the first 4 were sort of weighted heavily towards rookies and free agents. But there's still practice, and you still got, you know, training camp that you're, you know, every day, and, you know. It's technically the halfway point of the year.
Not including the postseason.
Not including postseason, but postseason is never, you don't ever count that because you can't take that for granted
anyway.
Right, exactly. All right, so we're at the halfway point. Because of this, today, what I wanted to open up to Patriots fans football fans in general, anybody who's listening today, I want you to grade the Patriots. I want you to give me three grades on offense, three grades on defense, and an overall grade.
What do you mean? Three
you can
grades?
Pick. I'll explain.
Okay.
You can pick and choose as many or as few as you want. If you want to just give me an overall grade on the entire team, that's fine. But I know how people love to nitpick on this show in particular. I know how fans love to break things down. You ask questions about personnel on every show that we do the best that we can to answer. And the PFW guys obviously do that as well. So that's why I want to give you the opportunity to do this. I want you to grade the play of the offensive line, the offensive backs and receivers,
skill positions, studs, and
right,
the quarterback.
And the quarterback. Okay? That's what I want you to grade on offense.
What about coaching?
I'm getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
Getting to that.
Jumping ahead.
On defense, I want you to grade the play of the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary. See? Three categories in defense, three categories on offense. You got offensive line, you got backs, receivers, you got quarterback. Okay? Defense, you got defensive line, linebackers, secondary.
Okay.
And the coaching. Okay, so that's actually seven. That's seven different breakdowns that you can make. That may be asking a little bit too much.
What about teams? Kick returns?
If you want to grade
returns,
special
coverage.
Teams, I wasn't going to include them in there because I thought it might be sensory overload. But if you want to do that, that's fine.
I think you should because I think it plays into, if you have bad coverage, that hurts your defense.
Right.
Because you're putting your defense in a bad position.
Right.
And it doesn't help your offense if you can't return the ball very well.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
So I think that should count as a grade.
Okay. All right. Well, then you can include special teams in there, but we also want an overall grade. And this is where I think most will be happy to offer up a letter grade. A, B, C, D, F, or?
Minuses and pluses are allowed.
Pluses and minuses are good. And I don't want any incompletes. Okay. Get off the fence. That's what I want you to do today. I want you to pick a side, because if you're in the middle, you get hit from both sides. That's why, you know, arguments and debates and sports talk radio, for that matter, if you're in the middle and you're agreeing with everybody and you see both sides of it, you're going to get hit like a ping pong ball. So the idea here is to take a stand. Pick a side. It's either good or it's not. Now, if you say it's a C, that's fine because you think it's nothing more than an average performance, and so you are making a suggestion. You are giving your opinion. That's not like staying in the middle ground. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that's fine. But I want you to grade as much or as little as you want to do. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Had a bunch of great phone calls even yesterday for the game show that we did.
That was a
By
lot
By the
of
way,
fun.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
I
hope we can do that again January.
Yeah, and for those that didn't get a chance to listen or play, and for those that might have even not listened to the podcast yet, I think there were some problems actually downloading the podcast on iTunes. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. So hopefully
I was out yesterday, but I'll check it today.
Well, if you get a chance to listen, do, because we had a blast doing it. It was a lot of fun. And we promise the bye week, if the Patriots get a bye into the playoffs and do not play the opening week, we're going to do it again on that bye week Wednesday before the wild card weekend.
I hope so.
Okay? So we'll do it again because we had so much fun doing it. And the phone lines were jammed the whole day.
I like playing the role of the sarcastic celebrity.
Wasn't that fun?
Writing answers to the
That was
things.
Good. Yeah. And Pete Shepard came in and did that too, and that was a lot of fun. So, all right, but today, though, we want you to contribute to the show by assigning grades, letter grades, report card day for the Patriots at midterm. That's what today is. Today is midterm.
Midterms, yeah.
This midterm is midterms.
Right.
How did they do with the first half? I'm going to start with you.
Okay. I'll start with offense.
Okay, go offense.
Start offense.
Why don't you give us three grades? We'll take a couple of calls, and then we'll go and get some more.
Okay, right? Okay. I will give Tom Brady an A+.
Okay.
For quarterbacking.
All right.
I'll give him an A. Let me change it to an A because there have been some of his throws against Buffalo and for most of the Dallas game were less than par for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall, he's had a great start to the season. I'll give him an A. I'll give Wes Welker an A+.
Okay.
And I'll include the receiving core in that because Hernandez, Gronkowski, those guys are producing at a level that far exceeds the disappointment we've seen from the likes of Chad Ochocinco.
All right.
So
you're going to give receivers an A.
I'm going to give receivers an A as well.
Okay, so receivers get an A. Brady gets an A.
And then offensive line play, that was the other one you wanted?
Now, receivers also include the backs.
Right, and Danny Woodhead has picked up where he left off last year. I have no trouble with that. Ben Jarvis really isn't part of the passing game so much, but he's done his job in the running game. So I give skill position an A.
Skill position, right.
Skill position an A, quarterback play an A. Offensive line, you know, they were hit in the first game with the injury to the center, one of the worst, areas to get hit. It's the fulcrum of that line. Mm-hmm. But they've handled that, I think, rather well. They've had the right tackle issues where they've had Solder playing most of the year, and they've held up decently, I think. Could they be a little bit better? Maybe. So I will give them a B+.
B+.
For O-line play.
All right. All right, let me respond, and then
we'll
pause here for a couple of moments, and we'll get some answers here. Tom Brady. I'm going to be a little tough on Tom because I expect a lot from Tom Brady. I give him an A-. The reason I'm giving him an A- is because, quite frankly, I think he's tried to force a few things in there to his receivers. I can understand why he would do it. I don't necessarily think that that's the right way to do it, but he obviously didn't quite adjust enough, especially against Buffalo, when the book on him against Buffalo was every time Brady cocked his arm was to jump in the air. I never saw any adjustment by Tom. He was still going over the middle with those routes. You have to adjust as a quarterback because they're getting up. You're going to tip those balls. Buffalo tipped two of them, came up with four picks. They ended up winning the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the adjustment. Now, that was one instance in six games that I really didn't see the adjustment. Tom has also short hopped some footballs this year, and I don't know if that's because leads directly to the reason that we saw his elbow being iced last week or not. I don't know. We may be reading way more into this than we really need to. But because there's a little bit of doubt, and because the offensive line, who I'll get to in a moment, has also allowed him to get hit, Tom gets an A- in my book, even though his statistics are, you know, extraordinary. But he's on pace to throw 13, 14 picks this year. And that's, for him, that's very pedestrian, especially when he only threw four.
It's about average for him.
Okay, but he only threw four all of last year. Now, I think I'd trade.
That was also.
Well, I would trade a few extra picks.
Extreme.
I would trade a few picks for a couple of wins in the playoffs, as I think most fans would.
I think everybody would.
Okay. So, jury's still out. A-. Backs and receivers. A. No question. Solid A. Welker individually gets an A+. Mm-hmm. But I think when you throw everybody else into the mix.
Yeah, it comes down a little bit.
Chad Ochocinco.
The curve gets weighed down a little
bit. Yeah, frankly, you know, and I want to give Gronk and Hernandez A+ at tight end, but it's hard for me to do that because Hernandez needs to learn how to take care of the football better. And I'm kind of lumping him in with Gronk. Gronk, frankly, he's probably as close to an A+ on this team with Welker as anybody. As anybody. Mm. And that includes Brady and everybody else.
Blocking as well. He's had done
precisely,
a tremendous job blocking.
Precisely, Eric. Precisely. Which is why I would put Gronk maybe just a hair behind Welker in terms of overall worth. But I'll say A. Wide receivers, for the most part, A. Running backs, A. They've been effective. Ben Jarvis has run well. Woodhead, when he's been healthy, has run well. And we've seen some great stuff already from Stephen Ridley. Can't really grade Vereen because he hasn't been on the field enough. I'll say A though. So I've given an A to the backs and receivers. I've given an A- to Brady. The offensive line to me rates a B-.
So you're a little bit tougher on the line than I was.
I'm going to be tougher on the line. A lot of that may not be the line's fault per se because we have had to deal with injuries. Mm-hmm. Dan Copeland gone for the year.
That's why I kept it a little bit lower than I would have.
But again, we don't use. When do we use injuries as excuses, Eric?
Oh, not as an excuse.
Never.
No.
Which is why there's still a level of expectation that you must have, even though your margin for error is going to be less. Mm-hmm. There's still an expectation for the offensive line or any other position on the field to perform. Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard the coaching staff and the players themselves say, well, one guy goes down, next guy's going to step up.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I'm holding them to that. That's all I'm doing. I'm holding them to their own words. And as far as the O-line is concerned, Mankins this last week was a little disappointing. And maybe it was because he had to help out with Dan Connolly. I don't know. I'd really like to break down that film and look at it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the end result is Brady got hammered. Dallas is a very physical and a very active and athletic defensive front, but he got hit hard. And that's going to really wear on Tom by week 12 or 13, if not before. So unless that B minus can work its way up to maybe a B plus or an A minus, I fear for the stretch run. I fear for the playoffs when this team gets in, and I do think this team will get in, but I fear that they're doomed to repeating history over the last couple of years with their first playoff game, because guys are just going to be too banged up and there's just not going to be life left in the legs. That's my greatest fear right now. There you go.
So we're fairly even in our
with the
grades.
Exception of the O-line.
But I mean, we're in the same range.
Yeah,
we're in
the
B range with the line and the A range with the skill position guys.
That's
and the
right.
quarterback.
That's absolutely right.
All right.
All right, well, let's see if we can get some others to chime in on this. Jamie's been hanging on from Houston. Jamie, you're in the playbook. How's it going?
John Eric, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How
What's
are
going
you?
On?
Good, good. I wanted to first comment about your exploits on the and adventures with Dave's Insanity Sauce. I discovered Dave's Insanity in 1998.
Wow.
Still have a bottle in my fridge. And
it really does have a half-life, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not the same bottle, but...
That would have been
a
better
long
story.
Time. It will kill you.
I believe that.
So let me ask you something though, Jamie. Why?
Why do you like it?
I use it in cooking to add heat. And as you guys touched on, there really isn't any flavor. You're just getting heat and pain. And if I wanna spruce up a chili or spruce up a gumbo and ratchet up the heat instead of just going pure cayenne, I throw in that, and there's a little bit of extra flavor in there. So I use it in that capacity mostly, or to torture, guests that annoy me and whatnot.
So what's the best ingredient to add to dilute this stuff if you're using it to cook with other things?
Your food. Rule of thumb, I use the stuff by toothpick tips. A couple of toothpick tips that you dip into the, into the bottle, and you can put that in a full batch of mashed potatoes, and those mashed potatoes will be hot.
All right.
You can just bite into them and say, that's hot.
Now, John and Matt put much more than two toothpicks dipped onto their chips. I mean,
yeah.
They had a lot going on there.
Yeah. No, that's, I was stationed in Texas, and I had a good old Texas guy, Mass Sergeant, he was a rancher and thought he knew what hot stuff was. And I told him, I warned him, I said, hey, don't be macho here, Sarge. Try this, just use it a very little bit. And he put a whole fingertip worth in his mouth, and he doubled over.
Oh.
And he walked in his office, and I didn't see him for 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that's interesting to note. I would like to try that, but you really have to be very careful with your measurement of this stuff.
Yeah, again, I use it by the toothpick tips and incrementally add it in, to flavor to taste or season to taste, as they say.
Right.
I have encountered a couple of freaks down here in Texas also, though. I got a neighbor, and he is a man because he says he eats jalapenos raw for fun and all that stuff. And he had never had Dave's. I said, I gave him the same warning, and he gobbled like two fingertips full, and it didn't faze him. So he's the one mutant I've seen that can resist this stuff.
I think that's probably a good description. Mutant is about right.
Yeah, you got to be a mutant. Yeah, I enjoy hot stuff, but I don't put it directly to my tongue just for fun. That's not fun.
Have you ever been to the Anchor Bar in Buffalo or had their sauce?
I haven't been up that way, but like the Three Mile Island, I think Hooters has, and that can't touch this stuff.
No. And actually, the Anchor Bar stuff is very tasty. Even their hot stuff, like the stuff that Eric brought, did have some flavor value to it, but it wasn't just pure heat, Dave's Insanity is.
Most people do vinegar. Now, the active ingredient, and Eric may know this because he is the walking encyclopedia to an extent, but capsaicin. Is the active ingredient that causes the heat.
Okay, capsaicin.
And,
all right.
And if you can believe it or not, I've got another buddy who's a hot sauce freak, and he says, he's got a boss who's really into it, and there's, you know, I think the capsaicin scale for hot stuff goes into the millions of, and I forget the measurement they call it, but
the Scoville
scale. It goes into the millions. And this, and Dave's and Sandy is actually on the lower end of some of these sauces these days. There's sauces that are, they're like 20 times more potent than this, if you can believe it. I don't know what they are, but I'm told they exist, and those would scare the hell out of me.
Matt says it's the Scoville scale.
Yeah,
Scoville scale. That's
yeah,
right.
Scoville
scale,
or
right.
Whatever, yeah.
Right,
however.
Precisely. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, yeah, there's even worse stuff out there, but for the longest time, Dave's Insanity was the stuff.
Well, this and, is pretty potent.
Yeah, to talk football real quick.
Go
I,
ahead.
On the offensive side, report cards, I give Brady a B+. I'm going to be more critical because he is inconsistent, and I think that's, you know, where all the offense loses a lot of their points, you know, keeping them off the A scale is inconsistency. You know, they can throw for 400, you know, one game or not, and then they get shut down in others. And Brady has had more interceptions this year than he's ever had, you know, on pace at the start. He's been sacked. I mean, the Jets sacked him, what, 4 or 5 times? I mean, he didn't show the pocket presence. He showed that he can still get flustered in the right scheme with the right pressure. And, you know, so he's inconsistent. He's got to work on that. I give him a B+ tops.
You are a tough grader.
Still one of the toughest guys out there. But again, he's added to the, you know, the takeaway ratio, and you know, tipped the scales in the same way with our receivers. You know, Welker's giving a ball up. I mean, the receivers are tipping these balls, and you know, not taking advantage and helping with the takeaway, negative takeaway quotient, and that's going to get better. But I give the receivers overall, I give them, you know, B+.
Okay. And how about the line?
I give the line, you know, a B. They're inconsistent as well, but they, again, they've had some more issues to deal with, and they've had some tough defenses to match up against. So, you know, I think they've done well for the patchwork they're working with.
B's across the board from Jamie.
Yeah.
Do you care, Jamie, to venture a guess as to the defense?
Oh, do we want to do? Yeah, you know, they're, you know, if you're 31 and 32 out of 32, that's what, an F, you know. But yeah, they're winning. They're 5-1. The bigger stat is 5-1. So I'll give them a C-, just to be fair.
Okay, that's actually fair. Now, how about overall?
Overall, you know, I give them a B. There aren't too many 5-1 teams left out there. So, you know.
But you're only giving them a B.
I only give him a B.
Okay. You're a tough grader. It's tough love. It's tough love.
If they get, you know, because I don't think they're first-round playoff worthy. You know, don't get my hopes up and not be able to get past. Right now, I still think they're a one-and-done playoff prospect the way they're playing inconsistently.
Well, that's my greatest fear, as you heard, Jamie. I just, the way that they're going, the direction they're moving, I'm not sure they're any better than a one-and-done right now. I hope that improves.
Yeah, but you know, the question is, the $1 million question is who is the AFC team represent? I mean, nobody looks strong in the AFC. You know, if you ask anybody now, I think everybody says Green Bay is the team probably to win it all and to lock down the NFC. And I don't think anyone can argue with that. But I think you know, the AFC is up for grabs with a lot of inconsistent teams. So that's the only thing that can hearten us.
Yeah,
I think it's
going
to come down to New England and Baltimore.
I do too.
In the AFC,
you got the preeminent offense against the preeminent defense. You got the immovable force and the irresistible object.
Question is,
where's
that game going to be played?
Yeah, that's the key right now. If that game's here, I'm certainly feeling a lot better about the Patriots' chances. If that game's in Baltimore, I'm not feeling good at all.
Are you feeling better that they're at home? Seeing the last two times they've been in the playoffs, they've blown it at home.
That's also true.
I will always take a home game,
but yes,
for advantage than I will a road game.
Absolutely, because there's a certain relaxation and comfort factor knowing that you don't have to get on a plane and travel, even if it's just down to Baltimore.
It's the crowd factor.
And the crowd factor too. Obviously, it didn't help 2 years ago when they played them. But
well, because the crowd got taken out of the game.
Yeah, first play of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last point, I think the best thing for us playoff wise is probably not to get a bye. But to just to go in the last couple times, I think we go in flat, we go in cold, and
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think any time that you can get a bye and you have a chance for your guys, especially who are banged up, to rest, I think it's very important as you get ready to start the postseason. Now, obviously, it didn't help last year, but then again, I just think that the Patriots had come off.
They
I
were
really
exposed
believe this.
Last year.
They were exposed, and I think the Patriots had in their mind that we'd just beaten this Jets team 45-3.
Yeah, a little complacency,
and I think there was some. There was a complacency factor. Oh, I think it's human nature there's complacency.
Right.
And I think that really hurt them last year when they knew that they had the Jets all over again barely a month later. So, you know,
it almost would have been better off if they didn't blow them out in December.
Agreed.
Because maybe they would have blown them out in the playoffs.
They might have. They might have.
Yeah. The Jets might not have been in the frame of mind to come on the road again.
I understand that, but I don't know. I still think this team has some head issues and they need to stay focused. And, I don't know. I'm willing to try anything different. You know?
Well, you're right about that. Because you don't have as much veteran presence on this team that has success in the playoffs. And so because of that, you got a bunch of guys on this team, frankly, that are learning how to do that. So that's why I do agree with that point, that these guys do need to learn how to adapt that way.
Great talking to you guys. Thank you for your time.
Jamie, all right, thank you very much. Good, thorough phone call, and even the breakdown of the Dave's Insanity hot sauce from Jamie in Houston. This one comes from Joshua. He says, Rook, if you like hot sauce, I have a recommendation for you. I ordered a few bottles of this stuff a few weeks back. It's so good, so good. The only place I know where you can order it is from the web store of the Dominican Republic Company. You can get it, in U.S.-based web stores, but it's expensive. The bottles are small. Makes sense to buy the bigger bottles from the Bello web store and pay the extra shipping. Turns out to be cheaper, so give it a shot. I love this stuff. Nice and hot, but now sour. Not sour like many others.
Bello.
It's called Bello Hot Pepper Sauce. Okay? Thank you for the link, Joshua. Appreciate that. Actually, I had a friend of my sister's, whose family is from Jamaica. And so they import hot sauce to sell in some of the specialty stores down in Texas where they live. And so I had some of this Jamaican hot sauce. So I'm a big fan of Jamaican spice, the jerk spice in particular. But this stuff was knock your socks off. But it was hot, but it had flavor to it. There was a sort of a sweetness to it, almost a fruity type to it that it was very pleasant, and it didn't give you the overwhelming burn until the next day.
Until a little delayed reaction.
Very much a delayed.
Really?
Very much a delayed reaction.
Now, how did that work? Is it something that settles in
it's
the taste buds?
It's coming out different end when it burns.
It just works its way through your digestive tract.
Is there something that it needs to unleashed?
I don't know.
A certain chemical in your body that makes it?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's delicious sauce. Mm. You have to take it in moderation. Mm. I couldn't, put like a huge clump of it on the end of a chip. If I'm going to dip, it would probably be a little more than what I just did, the drop. Mm. But not much more, because you don't want it to ruin. You want to be able to enjoy the flavor and savor it. You want the taste buds to really get going. I mean, you don't want them to burn off. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to fry, or you don't want to nuke them or anything, but you want the salivation process to start, because that's really how you enjoy things. Our taste buds are how we enjoy food. Some things are so damn hot, you just can't enjoy anything. And I think we're sort of like on that track here with this stuff, but the Jamaican stuff I had was really good. So anyway, all right. There's more good food talk today. Game show Wednesday.
Week.
Yeah. Food talk, food show. Yeah. Game show Wednesday, food show Thursday. Derek chimes in with his report card.
It's better than his report card.
Yes, well, I'm sure it is.
His own report card.
Yeah, by the way,
Arizona.
Derek, what is your report card? You're going to be a tough man, and
John,
you're going to give the grades, Derek. We need to know what your grades are at U of A. Here.
John, he's doing fine. He's in his seventh year of college. Undergrad.
She reminds me of John Belushi. 7 years of college down the drain.
Right. Might as well join the Peace Corps.
Exactly.
Might as well join the bleeping Peace Corps.
We love you, Derek. You know that.
All right, Derek's report card. Quarterback, A-.
Yeah.
Poor throws and decision-making at times.
Yeah, Buffalo, most of Dallas.
Running back. Well, I give him an A-, too.
Yeah.
Running back, A. Uh-huh. Keeps offense balanced, maximize opportunities. Uh-huh. Wide receiver, A+. Mm-hmm. Defensive line, B, expected more.
Yeah.
Linebackers, B, need to make more plays at LOS, not 5 yards down the field. Yes. DBs, C+. They need to play better, simple as that. Special teams, A. Coaching,
A. Oh, an A for special teams?
Yeah, I don't know that I would have done that. He didn't give us a grade on the offensive line either.
No. I didn't give you my special teams or my defensive grades either, but my special teams grade would probably be closer to the B-minus, C-plus range, because I think they've given up a lot in coverage. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the stats, but my eyeball test tells me they could do a lot better in coverage. They've given up some long kick returns, some punt returns. That, I don't know. Not too happy with that. Defensively, I'd say, yeah, the front seven is underproduced.
There we are.
From expectations.
He gives the offensive line a B. It just popped
okay.
up.
So I'm gonna give the D line B minus, because they're probably the strength of that unit right now, but they're underproducing.
B minus.
Linebackers C plus. I'm still not seeing it from them the way I think we should. There've been some bright spots, but
say that again. What grade?
C plus.
C plus for the linebackers.
Yeah, because they're just not producing still consistently, and I'll probably give a C to the secondary. I know that's kind of a cop-out, but I think they – I didn't expect much from them coming in, mm-hmm. which is why I'm not giving them a lower grade. But I see some signs, some areas where they could be improving, so I'll give them a C right now. And right. Coaching, overall, I can't really fault most of the decisions that have been made, especially in critical situations. You can't really blame them for the meltdown in Buffalo. That was – you know, not really much to do with coaching. So I'll go A minus on the coaching.
Derek also says special teams is an A because Mesko and Guskowski have punted and kicked well.
They have, yeah.
Coverage has been pretty good, started better, would like to see more in return game. And he says, man, Scal is killing me lately.
Got a lot of time to make up for there, my friend, as you well know.
I still don't see any of your grades on here, Derek. See, he didn't want to post his grades.
Letters don't go that low.
Yeah, letters. Ooh. You are killing him. All right, let me go defense then.
He's my boy.
Yeah, he knows that. Let me go defense here, and let's see if we can contribute. And then we'll get to some emails. We've got some other folks here that want to give us their grades as we break down the Patriots positions at the calendar midway point in the season. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Calendar-wise, we played 10 left to go in the regular season. Defensive line. You know, frankly, I think I'm probably going to be as tough as anybody in this. I'm going to give the D-line a C. The reason I'm going to give the D-line a C is because what did we expect and what have we received?
Mm-hmm.
And we really have not received what I think anybody expected. So in that regard, I think giving them a C is probably generous. We all expected more. Admit it. You expected more. I expected more. Everyone expected more.
Absolutely.
We didn't get it. So I think I'm being generous with a C. Linebackers, I'm definitely going to give a C, and I think it's a C that's earned. Reason I say it's a C that's earned is because they haven't thrilled me one way or the other, but they haven't pissed me off either. So I'm going to get, you know, it's right in the middle.
Okay.
So they get a C.
All right.
Secondary, C minus. And I'm going to be tough with the secondary because that's the one part of this team that I have nitpicked on every week of the season. I've come up with a nitpick, whether it's a fundamental coverage plan or if it's an individual performance. We've nitpicked on the secondary every week of the season in 6 weeks. And yes, the team is 5-1. All right. I'm not losing sight of that, but have we seen improvement? And the answer to that is no, not really. The only thing that we saw was about three weeks ago, we saw more zone coverage. Excuse me. Man, I just took a whiff of that stuff. I just inhaled and took a whiff of the fumes.
Yeah.
Damn near killed me.
Do you give Kyle Arrington any credit for leading the league in interceptions right now? With 4. And well.
Yes. And the reason I do that is because, quite frankly, Kyle's the one that you could give a better than C grade too.
Mm.
Everybody, I think you, well, and okay, let me take that back. I give Pat Chung
yeah.
I think also a B, but everybody else is a D or worse. Mm. And that includes
mm-hmm.
McCourty.
Mm-hmm.
Devin McCourty has not played well.
No.
He's played poorly. Individually, I give McCourty a D.
Mm.
The other safety spot, it's probably an incomplete, and I said, don't give an incomplete.
You said, don't give
I said,
plates.
Don't do that. But I'd have to say, and the reason I'm doing that is because we've shuffled 3 different players in there at
so
one
I'd
time
give
or
it
another.
A D.
So I'd have to give, yeah, you're right. If you had to give it a letter grade, it'd be a D.
Mm. Not quite an F because they have, you know, James Ahedibo stepped up, made some
James
plays.
James Ahedibo has brought the grade up.
Yeah, from an F.
From an F. Or a D minus, mm. but he's brought it up to a D.
Yeah.
If that, and we let him off the hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Let him off the hook. We let him off the hook.
Surprised me there.
So all I'm saying is that C minus overall because they still play too loose in man coverage. We still see too many bottoms of feet when receivers are going by them. Yeah. I just think that they're doing a poor job of covering. And if that's the game plan, well then you know what, the coaches then would get their grade would come down. Because you know, okay, the bottom line: do we win games? Yeah. All right, you're right. You're 5-1. And really, the only reason you're not 6-0 is because Tom Brady has a minus next to the A that I gave him because he didn't adjust to Buffalo's clear plan, which was to jump at the line of scrimmage. That's the only reason this team is not 6-0. I don't think that's stretching it too far, do you?
No.
All right. Fair? Am I being unfair?
You're being fair.
All right. Mary Beth, John, I love spicy, but there is a big difference between spicy and hot. Spicy is flavor. Full hot is just fire with no taste.
That's this stuff.
She's right. And this is full fire. This is just fire. That's what this is.
Yeah.
There is good spice to it, but the problem is that the stuff that, as you can see, that this stuff has sat here, look how much more that the liquid, the black liquid has gathered at the top. That is the pepper extract, I'm telling you, that's coming up, that, you know, sort of separating itself, the wheat separating itself from the chaff.
Yeah.
And, that's the fire.
You know what this? You know what this? This stuff looks and reminds me of
what?
Snake venom.
You guys might want to be careful in there. That might start burning through the counter soon.
I'm watching. I'm watching the bottom of the plate.
If that gets on your leg, you're done.
Yeah. Well, you want hay? You want hair removal? That'll probably take care of it right there.
Don't need any, John.
Slap a little bit of that on the cheek.
That's true.
At the beginning of the week, you won't have to shave all week.
Eric doesn't need the hair removal. That's true. I like that. Okay. All right, let's go back to the emails. Tiffany wants to chime in with her Patriot assessment. All right, so Tiff, here you
grades.
Go. Grades. Offense, A minus overall. Offensive line, A minus to B plus. Receivers get an A. Offensive backs an A. Quarterback a solid A. On the defensive side of the ball, she says defensive line C, showing improvement. Secondary, C minus, showing small amount of improvement. Tackling needs to improve.
Absolutely.
Linebackers, C, shows improvement. Tackling needs to improve. I'm right there with you, Tiff.
What if she's a school teacher? Because this looks very much like an actual.
I need to meet Tiff in Wisconsin. That's all I know. Tiff, are you?
Card.
I'm going to just ask. Tiff, are you single? Where have you been all my life? Special team, solid B. Fumbles.
Probably
in that
not born for half
Jets
of it.
Game. Yeah.
Wow.
They got a double rim shot from Matt. Oh, okay. Well, I had that coming. Seb, you set your own self up with a ball joke there.
I know.
Okay. Special team, solid B, fumbles in that Jets game. Overall grade, B. I think that's pretty good. I think she's kind of hit the nail on the head.
Not overly not outrageously
optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic.
Or flowery or complimentary.
Right.
It's very real.
Right. It's realistic.
We have an A on offense. Yep. We have a C on defense. Yep. Overall grade of B.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Split the middle. I agree with Tiff. I agree with Tiff 110% on that one. All right. Let me get, I'll get one more in here and then we'll bring Russell in and we'll go through week 7 around the NFL. Chad says, our offensive line is the best at pass blocking and 5th at run blocking. No defensive lineman has been able to sack Brady when the Patriots are in the no huddle offense. This O-line is good. It takes 6 guys to blitz on every play to get to Tom Brady. I give an A. I give this high grade because Connolly is absolutely tremendous. Solder is playing quite well. Welker and the boys receive an A. Welker's just a force. Branch is back in sync. The tight ends keep getting better, and I believe in Ocho. Law firm has run the ball like a horse. Brady gets an A, no question. Says, I'll come back for the defense. You know, again, I don't have any real problem with rating the offense an A. I'm being a little nitpicky here with the minuses.
Are you surprised that there's sort of a consensus here with the grades that have been given out so far?
Not at all. But I wanted to make sure. See, this is how...
Because I do sometimes think that Patriots fans tend to go in extremes at the same time. There are some who are all on board no matter what. There are others who are all pessimistic no matter what.
Our fans that listen to this show are smart. These people get it.
Paul doesn't believe that.
No, well then, I think other fans listen to PFW. Sorry. I know a lot of fans listen to both shows.
Paul just doesn't think fans in general are smart.
I disagree. I think the people that listen to Patriots Playbook are connoisseurs of football. And I think they get it. I think they understand it. And I think they're mostly very realistic about it. And I think that's why I enjoy this interaction with fans so much, especially on this program, and via Facebook and all the others, simply because they know what they're talking about. I don't get a lot of wild and crazy, oh, yeah, that guy sucks. Well, why does he suck? Because he just does. You know, that's, come on. You know, how much do you hear that? You hear that every day, right?
Yeah, I work with Andy Hart.
Wow. I like it. That's very good. It's very good. All right, are we going to go? We don't have to break then, do we? We don't need to break. Why would I want to keep Russell on the phone?
I got to break.
Okay, I know you do.
I have to go.
You want to say hi to Russell?
I'll say hi to Russell, though.
Hold on just a second, because I want to make sure that there. Hello, Russell.
Breaker 19.
Yes, it's here. How goes the battle?
It goes great.
Well, I didn't.
I know guaranteed for the first time in 7 weeks, I'm not going to get the Patriots game wrong. Although I got it right last week.
You did.
You get it right.
You gave a slight edge, as I recall, to New England.
I'll take 4 points as slight, but at least I didn't get it wrong. But, of course, they're off this week. But it's a very interesting off week, as a matter of fact.
Hey, quick question for Bax Football Guru. Have you ever had this Dave's
Ultimate Insanity Hot Sauce?
No. Is it on its way?
No, it's here. It's in the studio.
Okay.
And we opened it up today.
It's radioactive. And it is radioactive.
Now, does that mean you can smell it
wherever you're
sitting?
Yeah. It's sitting right. There's a tray of it sitting right in front of us. John and our producer, Matt, had some, and I nearly had to call the ambulance for both of them.
Oh, boy.
And that's not exaggerating. Matt, in particular, wanted to rip his tongue out. He thought that would hurt less than leaving it in.
We had the discussion a couple of weeks ago. I had my experience down in New Orleans when I was down there for a Super Bowl where there just wasn't enough water or crackers to kill what I put on my tongue. You know, you stop by and say, try it. How bad can it be? How hot can it be?
How hot is it? That's exactly right.
Answer?
Yeah. Just before we let Eric go here, sure. I want to bring this up that our friend Jay has Facebooked, and he says PFW equals monkeys playing checkers.
Wow.
So there's a good, you know, give that to Andy.
I'm going to go tell him that.
Yeah,
now,
you should go tell
upstairs.
Him that. Thanks, Jay.
Russell, keep the tweets coming. Love them.
I'm doing my best.
All right.
All right. See you next week.
All right, buddy.
All right. Eric,
enjoy your bye week.
Yeah, absolutely. From PFW. I'll be college footballing tomorrow night, so I'll be at the Q's tomorrow night. Yes, Q's tomorrow night. West Virginia, Syracuse tomorrow night. Yes. All right.
West Virginia in that game.
Yes, exactly. We want all traitors of the Big East to die horrible deaths.
I was going to say, they're not going to switch conferences in the middle of the game, are they?
Well, if West Virginia decides to vote for the Big 12, I'm getting up and walking out.
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole 24-hour show is what's going on in college football.
Isn't it? Do you think it at all that there's any relation? I mean, just because of the fact that colleges now, Russell, are treating it very much like a business. And to say that college football is an amateur sport may be the biggest crock of you-know-what I think anybody ever tried to portray on the public.
Well, it's more so than in the last 20 years, John. You know this as well as anyone. It's really now the minor league for NFL.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
With NFL Europe and the World League of American Football all being gone now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which I think, by the way, has, you know, that's been an interesting little sidelight, to what we've seen in the league in terms of 80-man rosters and stuff like that. But now, of course, that was different this year because of the lockout. But you remember all those people or the players that were sent over to NFL Europe, the teams used to get roster exemptions for those.
Yeah.
And without that, everybody, 80 men are 80 men. Instead of 89 men, or maybe 91 men, or maybe 86 men.
Sure.
That used to have in camps. And, you know, you want those camp bodies and so on. But, of course, the whole landscape of training camp has now changed as well. So.
Yeah, it really has. I just, you know, and the reason that I kind of got off on this is twofold. Number one, because Eric and I were starting to talk about it. Number two, because I got a couple of Facebook posts today asking my thoughts on the whole Big 12, Big East, ACC, all that kind of stuff. And quite frankly, you know, I've opined about this on Go Local Prob, and I've done some, you know, other talk show stuff, people asking about it. And I remember 6-7 years ago when Boston College bolted for the ACC, and I was still doing their games before they unceremoniously put me out on my ear as well, that, you know, I tried to defend them as best I could, seeing that, you know, they felt like at the time they were doing what was in their best interest, monetarily, especially for the growth, You notice I didn't say the immediate, but the growth future of the football program. In fact, I had Gene DeFilippo, the athletic director of Boston College, tell me, he said, Tom O'Brien, who was the coach at the time, before he bolted himself, Tom O'Brien said, we need to have our nose attached to Miami's derriere. And he didn't quite put it in that way, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Sure, of course.
And so that's what he said, that's what they did, and now look at Boston College. They haven't won squat since they've been in the ACC. And I fear, having good friends as I do at both institutions, Syracuse and Pittsburgh, you know, because you know I've worked in the Big East for 23 years now, that I fear that I have friends that are going to see similar things happen to them at Syracuse and Pittsburgh, that they're just going to get swallowed up by this. Their mediocre football teams right now, as it is going to make an even more mediocre ACC football league. It's going to water it down even further. Rick Pitino said this yesterday at Big East Basketball Media Day in New York. He said that, don't kid yourself, that move by the ACC was a basketball move. Because they are tired of the Big East kicking their ass. The ACC used to have the preeminent college basketball conference in the country.
Yes.
And over the last decade to two decades, the Big East has drubbed them and drubbed everybody else.
Well,
and so,
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, 9 teams in the tournament last year?
11.
11.
11.
That's why I need you to correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, so. but you know, so yes, it's football driven. But they drove it, you know, football, because it makes sense for them monetarily football-wise, but that was a basketball decision by the ACC. And so now it's the big question is whether or not the Big East can rebuild again, and if they do rebuild, does the basketball product suffer? And can the football product still be a viable entity? Now, if they go and get Boise State, you know, I think that's a tremendous move. It's stupid. It's ridiculous to hear it, but it's because people think, they think two-dimensionally. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, oh, Boise State. Well, that's out in Idaho. How could that possibly be in the Big East? You got to look at the bigger picture and realize that conferences now and money and everything else, they're not beholden to geographic boundaries or time zones or anything else.
Right.
It's all about marketing and television homes. That's all it is.
Well, is Boise State in the eastern part of Idaho?
No, I don't.
I'm trying to mail them out here.
I actually think they're in the southern part of Idaho. But, you know, the fact is that they would join for football only. And it makes perfect sense because the Big East gives them an automatic BCS spot, mm-hmm. which is something they have craved now that they, you know, they want to be a big-time player. Well, now's your chance. Now you're going to get a chance. And so everybody's darling Boise State, the underdog that everybody loves to root for, now they're going to get their chance if they sign up with the Big East and they come into the conference and they align with them and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. It'll give the Big East a lot of sway. It'll make the Big East a damn sight better football league than it ever was with Pittsburgh and Syracuse in it. Mm-hmm. Because you'd add Boise State, you'd add probably two of the three service academies, Air Force and Navy, who, by the way, are both better than Pitt and Syracuse this year.
I mean, I enjoy hearing you talk about this, John, honestly, because I have, from being an NFL person, obviously, and that's my forte, and then just kind of watching all around what has happened, it's almost mind-boggling. I mean, you have... there seems to be every day there's in the news about a school going somewhere. Okay, there are conferences that have numbers attached and the numbers don't match. And me being a factually accurate guy, I'm really confused by that.
Well, that's...
The Big Ten, does that have... That has 12 teams in it now, correct?
Big Ten has 12. The Big 12 has 10. The Pac-10 is now the Pac-12 because they've added two, so they have 12. The ACC is now at 14. The SEC is at 13, and they're looking to add one more to get to 14. And the Big East has gone from, let's see, they had 8 this year to 9 next year, and then they lost TCU, so then they were back to 8, and then they lost Syracuse and Pitt, so they were down to 6, and now they're talking about getting up to 12.
And then you're missing the biggest conference of all, to be honest with you, and I'm having fun with you, but Pluto is no longer a planet.
Yes, Pluto is no longer in our solar system.
So, I mean, I grew up my whole life with certain things in college sports, and now they've taken a planet from the conference
I know.
I'm just I don't know what to do.
It's raining.
I'm having some fun. I love your passion, John.
Dogs and cats are living together.
I really, really enjoy it because it's, the way it's been just, you know, you hear people debating it and you hear people talking about it and so on. And as they're talking about it, they're scratching their heads at the same time.
Well, it's, nobody can figure it out. And the bottom line is, and I'm going to write this for my column this week, so a little bit of a sneak preview on for Go Local Prov, a little plug here. The problem is that school presidents, and then I promise we're getting onto the NFL, Russell, because I want to throw you one in your wheelhouse, so we'll get to that. But the problem here is school presidents now are absolute and utter frauds. They're frauds. Donna Shalala, Miami, fraud. Nancy Cantor, Syracuse, fraud. Mark Nordenberg, Pittsburgh, fraud. Because they say they have the student athletes' best interests at heart in doing this. That could not be further from the truth. Why would you put a women's field hockey team on the road 1,500 miles and take them out of class that's going to cost your institution money and take them out of the class? You don't have their best interest in heart. All you have at heart is the dollar signs that are coming into your school coffers that make you look good because under your leadership, you've driven revenue for your institution. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
That's it.
Swimming,
frauds.
Diving, track and field.
Yeah, swimming, diving, track and field, ultimate frisbee, whatever's a varsity sport. You are frauds if you say that you have the best interest of your student athletes at heart. What's better? Making a bus trip from Providence College's perspective, what's better, making a bus trip up to Boston College or getting on a plane to go down to USF?
Well, I think that's probably that answer speaks for itself.
Of course it does. But that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about at every stinking one of these schools in the country that's involved in this expansion and or this realignment process. And it all started with Donna Shalala in 2004 when Miami left for the ACC and then, of course, Virginia Tech and who the hell else went with them? Miami, Virginia Tech,
Boston College.
Thank you. That's what happened. Miami started it all. And then now it's rearing its ugly head again. So all I'm saying is that, you know, these school presidents should all be fired, and alums everywhere, while they think it's great and their team is going to be all that because you're in this big, powerful conference. Well, you know what? Fans don't count dollar signs. Fans count W's. And Pittsburgh and Syracuse may have gotten themselves some dollar signs. They're not getting any extra W's. Ask Boston College. Okay, case closed. We'll move on to the NFL now.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. I want to, you know, this week's schedule is a little odd, and I say odd only because, for instance, let me start with Detroit and Atlanta. The reason I want to start with that one is because before the season started, I think we all thought Atlanta was potentially a contender in the NFC, and Detroit, well, nobody really knew, although they ended last year well. But the Lions are 5-1. They're coming off of their first loss of the season, somewhat controversially, but only because of the stupid handshake after the game was over. And Atlanta is the road team in this one, and they're the ones that really find themselves behind the eight ball now because they're at 3-3 playing at Detroit. Does Detroit still have something to prove here by holding, you know, home court, so to speak?
I think they do, John. I think this is a very, very critical game for the Lions, as a matter of fact, because you know, as we have gotten to know the Detroit Lions over the years, you know, well documented, haven't been to playoffs since 1999. Streaks here, streaks there, losing streaks, you know, a lot of lack of success. Now they've tasted some success.
Mm-hmm.
They had their first loss of the season after a 5-0 start. They hadn't been 5-0 since 1956. They had won 9 games in a row going back to last year. But you know this as well as anyone. Good coaches, good teams. It's how you handle adversity that separates you from being a good team and then a playoff team.
Right.
Because very easily, 5-0 becomes 5-4. And I'm not predicting that's going to happen to the Lions. We saw it with the Giants 2 years ago. They were 5-0. They wound up 8-8 and missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Same year, Denver was 6-0. And as we started ticketing them for the playoffs, they went 2-8 the rest of the way.
Right.
And then, of course, on the flip side, you have teams who start out terrible, and then they get hot. You know, it's a streaky league. It's been a streaky league. And I think this is a critical game for the Lions is because, once again, they're at home. They are coming off a loss. They come off a loss where, you know, a team really took advantage of what everybody thought they did really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
That defensive line of theirs, which gave up over 200 yards rushing, you know, the whole defense in general, you know, using their aggressiveness against them. And, you know, when someone comes into your building and hits you for a double C note on the ground, comes from behind and beats you, you know, that's a little stinging. And there in comes the Falcons, you know, with a guy named Michael Turner who comes off his most productive day of the year. But we expected a lot more out of Atlanta, as you said. The most consistent thing about the Falcons this year, unfortunately, has been their inconsistency.
Yeah, right.
Loss, win. Loss, win. Loss, win.
Right.
Score 12 points, score 35. Score 13 points, score 30.
Wow.
Score 14 points, score 31. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. Last week against Carolina, it was the team that we had gotten to know with Michael Turner, with Roddy White, with Matt Ryan, with Tony Gonzalez, okay? That balance, the play-action passing. I believe Julio Jones missed a game last week. That was the Falcon team that went 13-3. That's the team we saw.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that a lot this year. And listen, if they go into it, the Detroit and lose, it's going to follow their pattern, obviously.
Sure.
It's a tough game to call because Atlanta finds itself, and you see this, you've seen this a lot. All you need to look is a quick look at the standings and look at the teams that won division titles last year. Now we know Indianapolis' situation is much different than some of the other teams. But Atlanta, like Chicago, like Kansas City, even better off than Philadelphia, they're not chasing a team in their division. They're chasing two. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You made that point about the New York Jets. Even though they didn't win the division title last year, they're now chasing Buffalo and New England. Atlanta is chasing Tampa and New Orleans. Chicago's chasing Green Bay and Detroit. So these, you know, and Philadelphia is dead last. They're chasing everybody in the NFC East. So it's a crucial game for both teams because Atlanta needs to get off this pattern of alternating wins and losses, and Detroit doesn't need to go 5-0 and then lose back-to-back games at home.
Right.
And if they're a good team, they'll hold serve at home. And I expect them to, but I'm not going to be shocked if they lose. It's a very, very intriguing game, and one you probably wouldn't even have thought much of when you were looking at the schedule back in, you know, April.
No, wouldn't have thought anything of it, but not from the perspective that, you know, we're talking about either, you know?
Well, listen, Atlanta's already lost as many games as they did all last year.
Right.
The 13-3 ball club. You know, at one time they had won 8 games in a row. I mean, they were the number one seed in the conference last year.
Right.
And they look anything but that right now. You just can't get a grip on what they are. But what they are when they're at their best is Michael Turner and Matt Ryan controlling the flow of the game.
Right. Within the division this week, obviously the Patriots being off, but game I think that most Patriots fans will certainly be looking at will be the Chargers at the Jets. You know, talked about the Jets briefly. The Jets are at home again. They're a perfect 3-0 at home. They're 0-3 on the road. The Patriots already have dealt with the Chargers. In fact, they're responsible for the only loss that the Chargers have thus far this year. This shapes up, I think, to be a pretty entertaining one. Maybe one of the best ones of the week.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a little bit of a reunion game.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Antonio Cromartie, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes.
Facing their old team for the first time. You know, they haven't been gone that long, but they still haven't played the Chargers. And I think it's gonna be very interesting because San Diego, for a change under Norv Turner, has not gotten off to that slow start. Their best start since before Norv got there. 4-1. I think they were 4-1 in 2006, which is the year they went 14-2 and were the number one seed in the AFC that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because Phillip Rivers has been lights out. He has thrown his share of interceptions this year. But they keep on finding ways to win games. And I think in the past, especially last year with those special teams, they certainly found a way to lose games throughout the year. And then they get hot at the end of the year, and then they go in and usually play the Colts in the playoffs and beat them. And then everything was all well that ends well. But, of course, last year it didn't end well because they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
The Jets, to me, are just so erratic offensively. You know, here was a running game that was best in the league in 2009. Fourth last year. This year, up and down. Their best running back and most explosive player was Darrell Revis Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know he can go 100 yards.
Yeah.
But, you know, be it dropped passes, you know, be it, you know, mistakes on the offensive line. And that offensive line has still got some good players on it, but doesn't have the continuity that it did a couple of years ago. And that's what offensive line play is all about. This one's like Atlanta-Detroit. It's almost like a coin flip game because, you know, you keep on thinking that, you know, this San Diego cool off a little. And it's a funny term to use because they're not like they're really hot. Mm-hmm. They're just finding ways to win instead of finding ways to lose. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I think I'm going to lean toward the Chargers in this game because I just think they have more ways to score than the Jets do. But, of course, if Philip Rivers has one of those double interceptions games, which I believe he began the season that way, I want to say the first two or three games he's throwing at least two interceptions in all those games.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid mistakes. Listen, San Diego's had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. The Jets are coming off a short week. I think San Diego's the better team. I think they're playing better football right now. I mean, the Jets' defense can do a lot of things. But their offense just, they just make you, I don't want to say they make me nervous because I don't have any personal gain in them. But the erraticness of their offense, they play offense with a lack of confidence. And that's certainly not the issue with San Diego. If San Diego does anything, they play offense with a tremendous amount of confidence.
Right. The other game involving an AFC East team, frankly, I think that the marketing folks in Denver could not have asked for a better matchup for Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow makes his debut as a starting quarterback for the Broncos against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, really. I think the football gods are smiling on Tim Tebow. He's going to have some success, isn't he?
Well, and I believe, and you know, I've been told this numerous times, aren't they honoring one of Tim Tebow's national championship teams?
Something like that, yeah.
At the game this week. And,
right.
Of course, what's Tim Tebow showing up in? Blue and orange. Okay? So you couldn't get any better than that.
No, not really.
Of course, this it's a historic number, but it's kind of a funny number. The Denver Broncos have never beaten the Miami Dolphins in Miami. In fact, the Denver Broncos only have one win in Miami.
Wow.
Of course, it's this little thing called a Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
When they beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 0-7, I don't know what that means, okay? It just adds a little bit to the drama. And you know what the funny thing is? Speaking of Super Bowls, John, usually Super Bowls are things we've talked about for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this game for 2 weeks. We've been talking about this game between the 1-4 team and the 0-5 team for 2 weeks. And, yeah, I know Tim Tebow, I wish him well. I wish all players well, to be honest with you. I think the thing that intrigues me the most about Tim Tebow is all the times he's told what he can't do. And it'll be interesting to see what he can do. And, we know the dimension he adds with his legs. He's not an accomplished passer yet. You know, just a reminder, this is only his fourth NFL start. So, you know, I expect Johnny Unitas out there. I like the kid, I call him Bronco Nagurski because of the way he runs upright and so on. And, you know, Miami, you talk about the Jets' offense, Miami's offense is really struggling. And they can't seem to win a game at home, which is even more disturbing when you're 1-11 in your last 12 home games.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's stunning. I mean, that would have never happened at the Orange Bowl, I can tell you that, and you know that as well as anybody.
That's very true.
Tough times, it's actually tough times for both teams. Let's not forget something new. The Denver Broncos have lost 24 of their last 31 games since Josh McDaniels had them off to a 6-0 start.
Wow.
Okay, so they're 7-24 since being 6-0. So this isn't exactly, you know, New England and Indianapolis from a couple of years ago showing in with guns a-blazing. You almost get this dramatic feeling that Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos go in there and win. The one thing I will say about Denver, and their running game has been a little spotty, but they have gotten some good production from Willis McGahee, who has run very, very hard and, you know, several 100-yard games. It's an aspect of the team they didn't have last year. Their running game was... it's worse than in you know, since pre-Mike Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a feeling here, that I think it'll just add to the drama, that Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos go in and hand Miami another home loss.
Let's go to next week's Patriot opponent. which would be the Pittsburgh Steelers following the bye week. And the Steelers get themselves a chance to go out on the road and take on the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Steelers have won, four of their last five. But I know that they really haven't beaten anybody to, I saw a number this week. I think they're like six. Their opponents that they've beaten are a combined 6-16. Arizona obviously is not going to add to that total. But I think more importantly for Pittsburgh, they seem to be really hot and cold because while they can play one good half of football, the other half usually isn't very good. And I'm wondering if that means this is just a mediocre team or is this a Steeler team that still has a bit of an upside to it?
Well, I think it's a Steeler team that's dealing with a lot of injuries right now, and they're still trying to kind of find themselves. The one disturbing aspect is the fact that their run defense, once again, even though they beat Jacksonville last week, they had 55 yards of total offense in the second half. They were running the ball so well. Rashard Mendenhall wound up with 146 yards, most of that in the first half, and he got a lot on long run, but he was running really, really well. But they couldn't sustain it. And as you're watching that game in the second half, you keep thinking that Jacksonville was just a few plays away from actually beating them in Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh made some timely plays when they had to. Missing a lot of guys up front on defense. Their offensive line is a little bit in shambles and so on. I mean, they got Max Starks back, a couple weeks ago, and he's been a big addition for him. They let him go. But they've had injuries and inconsistency and I often kid that Ben Roethlisberger is their best offensive lineman. And now they play Arizona, and, you know, we're not that far removed, except for a few minor people, from these teams playing in the Super Bowl just 3 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
We don't have Kurt Warner around, and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have Santonio Holmes to throw the game-winning touchdown pass around. And the guy who made the biggest play in Super Bowl history, 100 yards, he's not around for this game either.
Nope.
As in James Harrison, who's, dealing with an injury and so on. So a critical stretch for the Steelers because they come home and not only play New England, but play Baltimore the week after. And we know what happened to them when they played Baltimore in week one, 7 turnovers, 7 points. Unfortunately, Baltimore had 35. The Steelers need to play 4 quarters of solid football going into this stretch at home against New England and Baltimore, because we know what Tom Brady has done to the Steelers in the past, and we know what the Baltimore Ravens did to the Steelers earlier this year. I mean, I think because of the organization that they are, they will always be one of the better teams in the league, and they're definitely a playoff contender, there's no doubt about that. But there are definitely cracks with this Steeler team. I think it's a club that's still trying to find themselves a little.
Well, you just talked about how the Steelers and the Cardinals are a couple of years away from playing in the Super Bowl. How about the Colts and the Saints this weekend? They are 2 years away.
Yes.
From playing in the Super Bowl and the Saints winning and Peyton Manning coming up close, but can't get that second Super Bowl win. And now the Saints are, okay, they're fine. They're 4-2, but the Colts are the Colts at 0-6 without Peyton Manning, and I think there's real concern, and I think there should be real concern over whether or not, A, the Colts get a win, and B, even if they want to get a win, because they've made now outward, shall we say, comments about the possibility of getting in that, luck derby, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. It has a different name for it. It's been bantered about and so on. I mean, I think the Colts want to win and so on, and if the cards fall where they may, that they wind up with a high draft pick and so on, who's to say what kind of move they're going to make and so on. But it's just amazing what has happened to them without their quarterback, because if you really think about it, so much of what he does affected other parts of the team. The idea was him running the offense, score a lot of points, get the lead, turn loose, Mathis and Freeney. We don't care about how many running yards we give up. We don't care about how many running yards we run for. It's kind of one-dimensional attack and one-dimensional thinking. And now we're seeing the windfall because now, even some of their good defensive players are out for the season as well. So, I don't want to say they're a lifeless team. I think they play hard. I thought they played hard at Cincinnati last week. But they're going into this dome. With this quarterback who, not exactly, and going back to last year, 22 interceptions by Drew Brees. 3 last week, threw a critical one in the end zone in the loss to Tampa Bay. He'll throw the ball around a little too much. You know, I know that's what they want to do and so on, but, you know, if I'm the New Orleans Saints, you know you can run the ball down the throats of the Indianapolis Colts. So is this a big game for Mark Ingram, the Heisman Trophy winner, and, mm-hmm. and Pierre Thomas and so on? It's a good way to work on the balance of your offense because the Colts' inability to stop the run and inability to run, period, is as big a problem for them as not having Peyton Manning. I find it hard to believe that they'll go into New Orleans on Sunday night and win that game.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time believing it either. It's not even representative. Let me also touch real quickly on, not even representative of an NFL team right now, as I should probably complete that sentence a little bit. The one of the biggest items of the week news-wise is the fact that Carson Palmer was traded from Cincinnati to Oakland for another number one, which leaves Oakland without any draft picks at all this next year except until the fifth round. The Raiders are at home against the Chiefs and is probably a traditional and AFC/AFL rivalry as there ever was. But the Raiders are 4-2. Can Carson Palmer possibly start and be effective in this game? I mean, wouldn't that just kind of make a mockery of everything that every other player goes through in terms of, you know, preseason workouts?
Well, I mean, I think he has some advantages here. I mean, he's had some experience with Hugh Jackson. Jackson was the wide receivers coach with the Bengals for 3 years when, you know, Carson's first 3 years as a starter. You know, I understand what you're saying and all that, and I don't think they'll throw him out in the field unless they absolutely positively think he's ready. But, you know, look at it this way. I understand exactly what you're saying, but the whole offseason for the majority of the NFL players was a different kind of offseason when it came to preparation.
That's true.
Now, the only difference here is, of course, there was training camp, and all the players went through that. Okay? Carson obviously didn't go through training camp. But, you know, for all we know, Carson was staying in as good or better shape than the other players during the lockout. So, you know, I think it remains to be seen. In fact, for a guy who's had some injury problems like he has had in recent years, and he doesn't look like the same quarterback since when he blew out his knee in the Pittsburgh playoff game. Mm-hmm. And I believe he had elbow surgery a couple years ago as well. He looks like a different player. He was a different player when the Bengals won the division mm-hmm. in 2009. So it'll be interesting to see if he does indeed start, and every indication that it is that way. And here's the thing. If he gets out there and he's rusty and he struggles, you know, the Raiders can put in Kyle Bowler. Now, Kyle Bowler, I know people don't get excited or anything. He had a respectable day throwing the ball last week. He did get sacked twice. He did fumble twice. You know, you wind up, I always look, when you look at five rushing attempts for 9 yards, it makes you think there were a few broken plays in there as well. So just like he had to replace Jason Campbell, who's not to say that Carson Palmer doesn't start and they have to go to Bowler? And remember, I think they get the bye week after that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the Raiders, who, by the way, didn't lose a game in the division last year. They've won 8 in a row mm-hmm. against division rivals. If they can steal one from Kansas City, and that will be easy. Kansas City, after that horrible start, won their last two games before the bye.
Right.
You know, Kansas City can get himself right back in a playoff race after being horrendous, a win, and they're 3-3.
Right.
So this won't be easy. I'll tell you one thing, though. The Raiders run the ball with such commitment. And Darren McFadden, you know, leading the league in rushing. No one runs it more often. Here's a number that might surprise you, John. Running plays for the Raiders here is 190. Passing plays for the Raiders this year, 187.
Really?
A little more balanced than people think.
No kidding.
And when you look at their young receivers in Darius Heyward-Bey, who I don't want to say he's looking like the seventh pick in the draft, but he's looking far better than he did as he was a rookie. Denarius Moore, Jacoby Ford, I think is such an electrifying player. It's a very, very interesting team. I know, you know, the Patriots had their way with them, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. But I think the Raiders, you know, the gut check game they had in Houston after Al Davis's death last week, you know, losing their starting quarterback and still hanging on for the win. And I have also brought up this point. If worse really comes to worse, remember Shane Leckler threw a touchdown pass last week to Kevin Boss. You know, can Eagle always drop back, you know, and do what he has to do as well. So I think the Raiders have a little mojo going this year.
Why don't they just back up Sebastian and let him try one from 70 or 80? Because I think he could hit it.
Well, they have. Hey, you know this as well as anyone. they have let him try from, like, I want to say a couple years ago, like 73?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like at the end of the half or something
like
that?
Yeah, 72, I think it was, yeah.
You know? What was the Disney movie? Gus the Kicking, you know, it's like, well,
I thought you were talking about Flubber.
No, well, that's in there as well. But yeah, I'm telling you, how excited do you get when he comes on the field? Thinking he's, I mean, remember, he tied the NFL record in week one.
Yeah.
With the 63-yard
field goal. With the 63-yarder, right.
It's funny, when he comes on the field at the end of the half to try his 78-yarder, whatever it's going to be, in the back of your mind, you're thinking he's going to make it.
Yeah, he's going to one of these days. He's going to.
He is going to nail, he's going to break the record one of these days.
He should.
65 or 66.
He should, and I hope he gets the chance. I really do, because it would be a shame with a cannon leg that that guy has. He's a freak. He's, and I say that in a nice way.
I know exactly how you mean it.
But he's just a, and I think he should own the record. Somebody that has that physical ability should have the record.
Yeah, I really think he's going to get it, I somehow think he's going to get it in some wild, dramatic fashion for the Raiders this year.
Yeah, it might very well happen. I'll be watching it. Russell, great to talk to you as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
Oh, you got it. Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I just want to, thank you, first of all, for engaging us in our Dave's Insanity Talk today, and also in my little collegiate diatribe a little earlier, and, you know, you're a good egg for doing all that stuff.
Oh, are you kidding? You know, I said at the top of the segment, it's an unusual week with the bye, because if you look at all the teams that are off this week, combined 24-12 record.
Wow. So that's, you know, a lot of good football. Eagles. That's a lot of good football on the sideline.
Yeah, and three first-place teams are not playing this week. Okay, the Giants, the 49ers, and the Patriots.
So you're telling me maybe this is the weekend to go apple picking.
Well, when you're looking at this, you know, again, you look at teams. Did anybody expect Buffalo and Cincinnati to be 4-2? Anybody expect San Francisco to be 5-1?
No.
You know, we're not surprised. You know, did anyone expect the Eagles to be 2-4?
Right.
I mean, we're not surprised that the Giants are 4-2. We're not surprised the Patriots are 5-1. But that's what makes the NFL fun.
Absolutely. Good stuff, my friend. Appreciate it.
As
always.
All right. See you next week.
Yeah, you got it. Talk to you soon. Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. And you can get him, follow his tweets, at Bax, B-A-X, Football Guru. At B-A-X, Football Guru. That's how you follow Russell Baxter. And go see his stuff on ProFootballGuru.com. All right, we're going to get back to our original premise today, which is for you to grade the Patriots at the physical midway point of the 2011 NFL season. They've played 10, counting the preseason, and they've got 10 left to go in the regular season. 10-10, halfway, got the bye, grade them. Offense, defense, positions, lines, coaches, special teams, need your grades. Going to jump back into it after this in the playbook.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! a never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Facebook, John Rook is the name, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request. And if you're not already a friend, we'll answer the request, and then you can message, you can post, you can use the chat function on Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter, at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722, at jrook0722. That's the Twitter address as well. Throw out a couple of tweets, maybe a day. Usually it's not even one a day. I don't like to overdo that because I don't like getting, you know, Twittered to death myself. But at any rate, when it's good quality stuff, you'll get it. When we have information, you'll get it. It's that simple. We've asked you to grade this football team today. The physical midway point of the season. 10 weeks in, 10 weeks still to go before you get to the postseason and the entire new season where everybody starts out 0-0 again. And I think it's fair to assume, as we've had the majority thus far, as I look over some of the emails and some of the ones we've shared on the air, and I'm going to share a few more here in just a moment, but I think it's fair to say most everybody says the offense is an A, the defense is a C, therefore, the overall grade is a B. And that's kind of what we're coming down to. Although, I think, in my own way of thinking, that you could say the offense is an A, the defense is a C, even to a C minus, but still consider the overall grade to be an A or an A minus. Because the bottom line is, again, 5-1. 5-1. When you're 5-1, there aren't too many teams that are better than you are at this stage of the game. Yeah, you probably should be 6-0. You probably should be, but you're not. You give up, a slug, a puncher's chance every now and then, and that's really kind of what happened with Buffalo, with all due respect to the Bills. Tom Brady throws 3 interceptions instead of 4. Patriots probably win that game. We've said that several times. It's probably worth repeating. Will definitely be worth repeating the week before we play Buffalo again. But I think, overall, you're in first place in your division. So unless, you're in first place by default, which I don't think the Patriots are, they've certainly outplayed the others in their division, and that includes even a surprising Buffalo team, then you'd have to say it's a pretty good season thus far. It's what you expected. So it's a good performance. And a good performance certainly would rate, to me, an upper B to a lower A. And if you go by the strict letter grade, you know, by, you know, what school teachers do, and I teach, so A is excellent, B is good, C is average, D is poor, F is failure. So if you go by the strict letter of the law, you'd have to say that, to me anyway, if you gave them a B, it's good. It might be a hair short of excellent, even though your one loss record might dictate so far you've had an excellent year. But it's because the expectations are higher in New England. And we as fans and as followers of the team and cover guys, people who cover the team, yeah, there's a certain expectation level because of the history. And look at what's happened over the last decade. You're talking about the team of the aughts, you know? This is the team of the 2000s. You won three Super Bowl championships. Expectations are nationally going to be driven to a different level. Is that fair or unfair? I don't think it's either. I think it, to borrow our phrase, it is what it is. Naturally, expectations are going to be driven higher because of where you've been. We can't see the future, but we can certainly revisit the past. That's why expectations are what they are.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Bill. All right, so let's get to some more of the emails here. And this one comes from Micah in Idaho. Micah says, my wife and I love hot sauce. Dave's Insanity is hot, but doesn't taste good. Tastes more like chemicals. Their ghost pepper sauce is hotter and tastes better. However, their Hurtin' Habanero has awesome flavor and is not as crazy hot. I've heard that Hurtin' Habanero is pretty good. I might have to try that one from Dave's company. Ghost pepper is also pretty...
Ghost chili. That's
ghost
the hottest
chilies
pepper
on Earth.
In the world.
Yeah.
And why would you want a pure ghost pepper
I don't
hot
know.
Sauce?
I don't know why. I'm not sure why anybody
like
would do that.
I like to enjoy my food.
Because there are people, because there are people who are masochists out there, I guess. Here are Micah's team grades. Quarterback, A-. Yeah, he's one of the best ever, but he's had some bad interceptions lately. I'd like to see that reined in a bit. O-line, B. Great against the Jags, decent against the elite, but still get burned. Receivers, A. What can you say? Who do you take away? Any of them can burn you. Welker, A+. Tight ends, A. But hold on to the ball, Hernandez. Well, to me, that takes their grade down a little bit, but okay, we're nitpicking. Coaching, he doesn't give one. Defensive line, C, just so-so. I think they have some room to grow, just average. Linebacker, C, mostly marginal, flashes of good. Secondary, D+. It was an F until last week. They're showing improvement. Can't disagree with that, Micah. Overall, B, better than most of the NFL, but we need an overall A if we're going to go deep in the playoffs. And go Pats, you know what, to the Jets. That's fair. And I think, Micah, you seem to be right there pretty much in the consensus with a lot of others. Here is John. And John says, grades, offensive line, A, approaching B. Considering the injuries, I want to give them a higher grade, but Brady has been getting smacked around for weeks. Yep, I said that earlier. Defensive line, D, approaching C. The biggest improvement is on defense is in the line. Linebacker, D approaching C. If not for the play of Guyton, this could be higher, although Guyton has the hardest job. Quarterback, A approaching A-. Tom has been great, but too reliant on the short pass every once in a while. Keep them honest. So far, I'm buying it, John. Wide receiver, B+. Thank God for Welker. Deion is great, but I worry about him making it through the season. Tight end, A approaching A-. Approaching A- because Gronk has to block constantly, and I think Hernandez is brought back too soon. I don't think they'd have brought him out there at all, John, if he wasn't ready to play. Patriots do have a history of that, not letting guys back and even letting guys stay out longer than they really should. Keep in mind, Gerard Mayo was practicing last week, and they still held him out of the game against the Cowboys. I really think that they err on the side of caution more than anything else on this team.
I don't think anyone ever really messes around with a knee injury, especially in a guy like Hernandez who his bread and butter is catching the ball.
Right, he would not have been out there head if he were not ready. I am convinced of that, Matt.
Look at the play he made last weekend where he caught the ball, shook off a tackle, made a cut, made a spin. I mean, you can't say he's feeling any ill effects on his knee, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to do any of that.
Right, I agree. Cornerback, D, I was kind not to go lower. Safety, D approaching C. Dear God in heaven, why trade Sanders? Coaching, B approaching A. The defense keeps getting better. Okay, fair. A couple of them that I have a question about, but, you know, I think fairly reasoned thinking there in terms of issuing grades, John. Oh, okay. That one's a message for Kevin. I'm going to keep it here. Comes from Norman in Illinois. I'm going to read it. Says Kevin, in the Wednesday Belichick press conference, he said, I'm not here to solve the world's problems. I'm here to coach a football team. And Norman says, this is going to make a classic drop. I hope you can add it to the library. So you might want to go look for that, Matt, and do Kevin a little favor.
We'll get on that.
There you go. Thank you, Norman, for pointing that out, by the way. All right, Lyndon writes us from Colton, California. And Lyndon says, Dave's Insanity Sauce is 180,000 units on the Scoville scale, which is 36 times hotter than a jalapeno. Dave's makes something called Dave's Ghost Pepper, Naga Holakia Hot Sauce, whatever the hell that is, which is 650,000 units on the Scoville scale. There are hot sauces out there that go up to 4 million and extracts that go up to 16 million units. He says that's pure capsaicin crystals. Capsaicin is the stuff that we were talking about. It's the hottest stuff on earth, right?
If anyone is stupid enough to try it, they deserve whatever happens.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Anything that's pure heat, it's whatever they measure heat by, and it's purely that. I mean, what do people expect?
I don't know. Well, frankly, Dave's Insanity. I have not tried the ghost pepper stuff, and I have not tried anything that goes anywhere near seven digits on the Scoville scale. Dave's is about as hot as I've gone, and that's only, as Lyndon pointed out, that's only 180,000 units on the Scoville scale. It's still, however, 36 times hotter than a jalapeno.
That's warm.
That's still warm.
That's about as hot as I'd want to go. I don't know about you.
I don't know that I'd want to go any hotter than that right stuff right there either. By the way, it looks like it's starting to eat through that plate.
Yeah, I don't want to come in and touch it.
I'm getting more whiffage right now as we speak.
I know, when I just went in during the break, I opened the door, and it was like a punch in the nose. I wasn't expecting it.
Should have the PFW guys come down here and say, guys, you got to smell this. Come here.
Just leave it in there until Tuesday.
Oh, no. It's true.
And then it would have eaten through the table.
Oh, it would have eaten through the table and gone through the floor by then. That's true. All right, John, Eric, and Matt. This one comes from Gene in Daytona, who says, offense, A-. He's going to give Tom Brady an A, wide receivers B+ with Ocho drops, without Ocho, an A grade. Tight ends B+ because of the fumbles. The backs get an A with no fumbles. Offensive line A-, but improving. That's a generous grade for the offensive line, Gene, but okay. Defense B. Defensive line B+, linebackers B, defensive backs B-. I think you're being very generous, Gene, but again, okay, that's fine. It's your opinion. Punting A, place kicking A, kickoffs A-. Punt returns B+, kickoff returns B, coaching A-, team overall A-, but improving. He says, Baltimore and New England in the AFC playoffs. In Baltimore, I guarantee a Pats win. There is something about the Tom and the Pats in a hostile environment seem to be at their best. Pats home game, the Pats will lose. Yikes. So Gene says they'll lose a home game, win a road game. Goodness. Chad is in Georgia. Chad, on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Welcome to the playbook.
What's going on, Mr. Brooks?
Chad, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great.
I got some grades for you.
Go.
I'm going to give the offense A-, taking into consideration, all the fumbles and interceptions and so on that we've had so far. The offensive line, I'm going to give them a B. Defensive line, I'm going to give them A-. The coverage, secondary, gonna have to give like a D+.
A D+ or a B+?
A D.
Okay.
D as in
dog.
Darn right crappy.
Okay.
And I have a theory on it. That's all the grades that I can think of, but I have a theory on the coverage, and you can laugh at it if you want, because I'm not a coach. I don't know. I'm just going off what I see. Seeing as how you don't have James Sanders, you don't have Brandon Merriweather, you think they're taking into consideration the fact that Patrick Chung, this is only his second year. Could the reason that our coverage is getting beat shallow, could that be a reason that they're sending our corners deeper and they're trying to help out the unseasoned safeties?
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
With that?
Yeah, I'm following you.
I mean, like I said, it's a theory. Because we just keep getting beat on those shallow slants in the middle. And I know we have been playing, you know, these outstanding wide receivers. I mean, we're just getting killed and hammered in that same spot every time. And I'm just thinking it's because they're trying to help out the unseasoned safeties.
Well, I think it's partly why they're just playing soft. It should be the other way around. The safeties have to come up and give the corners help. And
exactly.
I don't think they're doing a good enough job because the corners are playing too soft. Now, nobody has really asked or even received the answer to the question, why is the coverage or why does it appear softer than it has in the past?
Right.
I haven't had answered yet.
We've got the corners. I mean, those guys are so talented. I mean, McCourty, Arrington, they're so talented. I mean, I don't see why we can't be seeing at least two picks a game. I mean, that could be a little much, but those guys are so talented, and it just seems like they're having to compensate for, like I said, the more rookie safeties, and they're having to, you know, draw back and help them more, and that's, you know, making their job a little harder.
Yeah, it's definitely making their job harder. You're right about the physical talent. We've seen it. We saw it even last year. But I'm beginning to wonder maybe if teams have discovered something that, you know, we're not entirely aware about the Patriots' corners, and they've seen some sort of fundamental flaws in the way that, you know, a guy like McCourty and or even Arrington and Bodden, for that matter, you know, have played, and that, you know, they've done a good job of avoiding them at the line or running or cutting their routes a little bit short, surprising, because it seems like McCourty's been surprised on some plays, and they're just catching him off guard, and McCourty just hasn't figured out how to adjust that yet. And that's, I think, that's really what's disturbing more than anything else. Haven't seen the adjustment.
Right. And like I said, I mean, he's talented enough to where, you know, I think he can fix any kind of, you know, kink that he may have. I think he's talented enough to do that. So, you know, like everyone's saying, you know, give them time. I think they will gel. And I'm hoping, I'm praying that we will move up from 32nd in the league and we'll, you know, end up being somewhere up in the teens, hopefully.
Well, my guess is, yeah, statistically, you know, stats are stats. They don't really mean much as long as this team goes, you know, and wins a division title. But I would tell you that stats can indicate tendencies. I think it's possible. And even probable that they're probably somewhere in the 20s in total yardage. But the number that's going to, the number that's going to mean more to the Patriots is third down defense and red zone defense. And if they are in the upper half of the league, which I think they can be, and I think they already are, but if they are in the upper half of the league in both of those categories, then you're going to see in a defense that certainly is capable of bailing you out like we saw last week against the Cowboys. They bailed the offense out last week and helped actually for the first time this year to win a game. I wasn't sure, but going into the Dallas game, that the New England defense was capable of that. We see now they are capable. The question is, can they build on this and get stronger?
Right, and you said the Dallas game, but my thing on that is, you know, I don't want to say it was all, you know, Jason Garrett's fault of, you know, not letting Romo throw, but they didn't, you know, go to the air that much on that last drive.
No, they didn't, and that's been the big criticism of him, Chad.
Me.
Yeah, right.
It was scaring me because I'm thinking, you know, if they do go to the air, I worry about our coverage, and that's what, you know, that's what happened with the Bills. I mean, they had those drives. They just cut, you know, our coverage, but the Cowboys, for some reason, they didn't do that, and they went on the ground, and our defensive line put a stop to the Cowboys' running game, and that's what saved us.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think our coverage could have bailed us out if, you know, Romo had thrown the ball. I mean,
no.
That's sad to say that, but
well,
I mean, that's just the truth.
Well, I think what you have to do, and Chad, thanks, because we're toward the end of the show here, but I think what you have to do is be thankful that the Cowboys made the decision that they made. Because if they hadn't, they'd gone the other way, the outcome could have been different. There's no question about that. Let me end up here with just a couple of quick emails. Let's see. Chad grades the defense as well because he graded the offense earlier, so I'm going to give him a chance to grade the defense. Says, I'm going to give the front D a B-. The front D has stepped up to stop the run against the Jets and Cowboys. Man, Haynesworth had three linemen on him against the Cowboys on a play. Linebackers need a tackling clinic. Missing tackles is inconceivable. Guys have to tackle and cover more aggressively the outlet and the flat. Without Mayo out there, our linebackers do struggle. He's the coordinator of this defense. He's our best tackler. So with Mayo out, overall, I give the linebacking core a C. Problem with our defensive backs is that, first, the safeties are 20 yards away from the line of scrimmage, as we've noted. Secondly, apart from Chung, the three other guys lack experience. The corners need to get some more picks to get it going. McCourty has not delivered. Rossi Dowling, actually injured, penalizes us. So I give this core a C. Minus. They need to be more sharp at tackling. McCourty not playing well kills us. Defense overall a C. And he says the PFW guys are a bunch of tools. Wow. I gotta read this. I'm going to end on this. And thank you, everybody, for the cards and letters here. Oh, wait a second. I meant to say this. Yeah. All right, I got to share this story real quick. It's a short one. Craig sends this about Dave's insanity sauce since we started the day with it. He says, I worked at a brew pub in southern New England. Is it New England? N-E. I'm guessing it is. That was known for its hot wings. When someone ordered the hottest wings, the staff was supposed to stress that most people find them too hot. One slow Sunday night, I had three guys at the bar. One of them ordered the hottest wings. This guy was a very large man, dressed like a cowboy, loud, rude to everyone from the moment he walked in. I knew he was going to say something when I told them they were very hot. When I told him, he proceeded to stand up and rant and rave how he was a real man from Texas and not another pissant northerner like us. And we couldn't make enough hot food hot enough for him to break a sweat. He also added that a few other choice words, too, directly insulting me. So I proceeded to put the order in, adding a special message to the kitchen. Kill this cocky beep. I knew it would prompt the kitchen to have a little fun. They not only drenched the wings in Dave's, but also chopped raw habaneros and rolled the wings in it. Ouch. I delivered the wings, stood back to watch this guy in complete torture. Of course, the only thing he had to drink was the double whiskey he'd ordered. I made sure to take my time with the water he kept begging for. His friends almost fell out of their bar stools laughing for some reason, and he seemed quiet from that point on. That's a good job out of you, Craig. You know, it's okay to be a cocky Texan, but, you know, you can't shove it on other people. It's just not done that way. Come on, you know, have some class. Most Texans I know at least have some class. Right, strippers? You have to admit that. The last word here goes to Jay, who gives a grade to Brian Waters on the offensive line in A. But then he says, playbook equals chess. PFW equals monkeys playing checkers. Same patch time.
Monkeys comments today.
Yeah, same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday. We get football back in. Steeler week. See ya.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.